My name's Peter McMaster, as you all know. I used to be a bit of a heathen in my younger days, well, not that long ago. I've been Christian 5.5 years, and I'll just tell you how it came about. One night I woke up in bed. I just sat upright like that. I was covered in sweat, and I was puffing and panting, going, holding me guts, and I woke up the woman next to me and I said, look, I just had a dream and this dream was real. I felt the pain and everything. I said, I just dreamt I got shot in the guts. And she said, oh yeah, good on you. I went back to sleep. Anyway, two days later, I had the same dream again. I woke up, sat right up in bed, covered in sweat, puffing and panting, holding my guts again. And I woke her up and I said, look, I just had that dream again. I just got shot in the guts. So we talked about it the next 2 days. Anyway, 2 days later, I was going round to my mate's joint, have a few beers. It was Christmas Eve, and as soon as I walked out the back door, the thought came to me, oh, I hope I don't get shot in the guts tonight. Anyway, I just went round there, a few beers. Anyway, I ended up getting shot in the guts, and that wasn't a strange thing, you know, because if you hang around with lunatics and maniacs, these things can happen, I suppose. And so that didn't, but just the dreams, the fact that I had the dreams, I was thinking someone's telling me, trying to tell me something, and I wasn't interested in God. I used to be an older boy at the Catholic Church, and that was just, I couldn't see God in anything they do, you know. What was going on? The older boy that trained me how to do it ended up blowing his head off with a shotgun. And it was only in a town, a small town, 300 people population. And anyway, later on down the track, I found out there was a priest around there tampering with the kids. My mate used to call us altar boys. So I didn't really give God a thought. I thought, is it prophecy? Is it premonition? What is it? Is it subconscious? Is it the aliens and, you know, buzzing around, or is it God? And I put my money on the aliens buzzing around. That's what I really thought. Someone's trying to warn me. Someone told me, so I had to find out. I wanted to know the truth, and I was smoking heaps of dope, drinking heaps of beer. And so I went on this search, and anyway, I was looking, first place I started was Nostradamus, and you read Nostradamus, if you read Nostradamus by himself without the interpretations of others, that just all, you know, gobbledygook really. But that's where I started, in the channelers, in the psychics, anything I can get my hands on. Then I come across this magazine in the news agents that said, do you want to know the secrets of the universe? There was an ad in the back of this magazine that was full of conspiracy theories, full of all these channels. It was a new age, full on new age thing, and that's where I was looking. I knew there was a power out there. I lived on a farm. My brother and me used to go around, because the old man used to get this old fella in to douse out with willow branches streams so he could put windmills on it. Me and my brother used to chop the willow branches off and follow around the pipes going under the ground with the willow branches, and you go over 20 or 30 times, the actual bark had twisted right off the branch. There was a force there. We didn't know nothing about it, but that's sort of where I started. I knew there was something there, and I just had to know what it was. And I was just, like I said before, I was just sitting around smoking dope all day long, and all this stuff gets in your head. Anyway, back, I found this ad, and do you want to know the secrets to the universe? And I said, yeah, of course I do. Who doesn't, you know? And anyway, I sent away for this stuff, and they made me set up a little altar, like a little altar, little mirror, candles, incense burning, and I read this prayer. And the prayer, you ask this thing to infuse your being. Anyway, I did, and I started shaking like this, and I'm reading this prayer. I'm thinking, what's going on here? What's going on here? And this spirit's moved into me. I didn't know what I'd done. I didn't really know much about it. And this spirit, the very next day, I was walking down the street and I'm thinking, oh, I feel pretty different, you know. I feel something's happened. This is weird, but maybe I'm on the right path. Anyway, it was a, this thing, it's called Rosicrucianism. It's an offshoot of Freemasonry. But you're straight into the witchcraft. They didn't muck around feeding you with garbage. At the start, it's straight into full-on stuff. Anyway, I put a lot of time into it. This spirit made me, it was like someone behind me with a whip, and it was driving me into the bookshops, into everywhere, and into everything that was no good, you know. But I didn't want to know about the God of the Bible, but everything else, all these doorways opened up, Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, all this stuff like that, that all the doors were open, but the one door that really mattered, that I know now, was shut. And every time, if I looked at it, Jesus was just another Buddha or another Allah or another. I didn't really see the significance. It was all just the same. Anyway, this thing was driving me more into drugs, into alcohol. I was spending a lot of time in front of these mirrors. Weird things were happening, real weird things, you know. Like, they taught you how to get out of your body. And if you've heard the witches can ride around on broomsticks, or, you know, they don't need broomsticks. Inverter, all that sort of stuff, and this thing was really set me on was getting me round the twist. It was just all these directions and that. And anyway, I built this big, it was like a big coffin. I filled it up with water. This is how far out of whack I got. I filled it up with water, I built it in my backyard. And filled it up with water, put 100 kilo of salt in it, and had this big door so you could float on the water, and had this big door so you'd shut it, and it was pitch black. And I lived in this small town, and they all thought I was completely mad. And I got out of this thing one day in the middle of winter. You know, I used to dope up, you know, really dose up on the dope and get in it. And then I got out, and here's my next door neighbour looking over the fence, and he said, "What are you doing in there?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just trying to contact my dead grandfather." He thought I was just completely mad. And anyway, I didn't. I was fair dinkum. That's more or less what I was sort of trying to do. And this other thing that I built, I used to douse out all the magnetic lines, ley lines they're called, and I built this big thing, Tower of Power, you call it.
Big thing.
Yeah, it was a phallic symbol, but it was a tower of power to hold the magnetic field around it. You douse it out, put it in the right spot, and it alters everything, you know, meant to make your veggies grow better. And so I built this thing. It was 6 foot, and you needed a really pointy, like a witch's hat, you know, really pointy top, but I couldn't do that out of cement, so I just rounded it off. Thought, that'll do, you know, that's my tower of power. Everyone that drove past the road at front could look down my backyard, and everyone saying, "How come you built a giant dick in your backyard? What's going on there?" "That's not a dick, it's a tower of power, you know." And I'd go in to say, "It does this and does that." And this path I was going down was just...
Go get your hexagram. You'll soon feel fine. Looking at the stars, you don't live under the sign. Don't mess with gypsies or have your fortune read. Keep the table on the floor and don't you listen to the dead. You can't hitchhike your way to heaven. The devil.
This thing was driving me, the voices were getting clearer. Go here, go there, do this, do that. 6 months before I split up with the ex-girlfriend, and I was really a mess. I was crying, I was depressed, I was anxious, I was fearful. There was so much guilt and shame, these things. But that was after I come across a book called by Barry Smith called Better Than Nostradamus. He's a Christian writer. And I got into that, and because I was burying food and stuff and freaking out about the end times because all this stuff, you know, rolling up big joints like that when I'd come across this really scary prophecy, and just to freak myself out, I'd read it and go, oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I was living like the end of the world was coming tomorrow. And anyway, it was just starting to get a load on my shoulders, and I'd come across this book by Barry Smith. It was Christian prophecy. I'd read a bit in the Bible, Revelation and Daniel and the prophecy, and it was all, I just put it in the same boat as all these other psychics and the, you know, all this other prophecy stuff. To me, it was just maybe, maybe not. But beforehand, I was waiting for dates. You come across dates, like there's a lot of dates in the Nostradamus stuff, you know, the stuff about 1999, blah, 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 or before that. And you're just waiting and nothing was happening. And I was thinking, what's going on? This is just driving me mad because nothing, they're not coming true. They're not, what's happening? And I was freaking out. And anyway, Barry Smith, I knew there was a lot of conspiracy around. I knew there was something wrong with the planet, but I didn't. No one could give me the bottom line. What was wrong? And Barry Smith, he pointed all. He said, God's in charge, Satan's the one mucking it up. And that's just sort of, you know, it just sort of clicked that, oh, that's, you know, that's so simple. Why didn't I see this before? And I thought, right, I'm going to put everything aside. All this other rubbish, I'm sick of it, I've been into it for a few years, I can't take it anymore, it's just filling me head full of crap, and I'm going to believe that, like my mother said, Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, I'm going to follow him, I'm going to give him a go. I've tried everything else, nothing's happened. You know, you're following Hinduism, they worship, there's a bloke lived in a cave for 20 years and he ate bat crap the whole 20 years, they're worshipping people like that. Another bloke just held his hands shut and let his fingernails grow through his hand. They're the idols of the Hindus, and you know, they're smoking dope. Every Hindu in Australia I run into just full on dope smoker, you know, and they just worship the dope more or less. But so I stuck everything to the side and I started following Jesus. And as soon as I do that, done that, and this thing living inside, this demon that I'd invited in, he just went totally off. He turned my brains were like scrambled eggs. The anxiety and depression I had was like knots tied in my guts. It was just absolutely, I'd have blown my head off 100 times. I had the gun ready once. I was just going to do myself in, do someone else in as well. The voices in my head, it was non-stop. I couldn't read anything. I couldn't watch telly. I couldn't think. I'd have a conversation with someone and there's one, two conversations and another two or three going in my head. So I just got drunker and drunker and stayed drunk and didn't really care what I said or what I thought. I just go with the flow, you know, let them drive. And anyway, in the end, I was an absolute just wreck because that thing in me didn't want me going anywhere near the truth, which is Jesus, that I know now. So I ended up an absolute wreck. And and one day I was, I come with me now, my wife Carol Ann, now, I'd met her and we'd been to the footy. I just played footy. I was three parts drunk and I walked into the Catholic Church and coming home on a Saturday night and I believe the Indonesians were going to invade and they were going to invade tomorrow and stuff. All these things that I'd pumped into my head were still in there and I was still going around and around. And I walked into the Catholic Church one night and Saturday night and I was just saying the Our Father right at the end. And I just said, you know, we're half full on the grog and on the dope, and I said, oh, you'll have to pray a bit louder than that. The Indos are going to Indos are going to come over and eat yous all. And we all looked around and, and then I thought, I just had a bit of a laugh and walked out and then just went to the pub like, wacko. That was just the way I just, whatever came into my head I'd do. And because I was drunk all the time, it didn't matter what it was. I didn't care, these other things were driving. I was just the passenger. And anyway, I went to sick, but all the time, after I got this Barry Smith book, I was saying the Our Father prayer. I just said it hundreds of times, day after day. I said the sinner's prayer. I needed help. I knew I needed help, and said Jesus can set you free. And I kept going. I kept following, getting all the Christian prophecy books, wanting to know about Jesus, but I couldn't pick up the Bible. The Bible was just like a, oh, no way. I couldn't even, could only read the prophecy in it. So I went to, then one night I got up to see why the, we lived out in the bush, the dog was barking. I went out to see what it was. It was up past 3 in the morning. Come back to bed and used to play a mind game. You sort of empty your mind or try to empty it and then ask a question and you'd wait till the voice told you whatever time it was. And anyway, I said, what's the exact time? And he said, 4:17. And I thought, 4:17, that's weird, it's only up past 3. And then I thought, I'll try it again. And anyway, what's the exact time? And Matthew came into me and I thought, Matthew 4:17 is in the Bible, I better get up and have a look at that. So I got up the next day, Matthew 4:17 said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I showed Poss, I said, look at this, God's trying to tell us something here, this is a definite message, maybe we better go to church. So anyway, we walked into church, stoned off our heads, thought we'll just go in and have a look. And I'll just show you, this is what I look like when I walk into church. I don't know if you can see that or what, but that's, and they thought I was the devil himself.
In a beautiful world we live in, a sweet romantic place. Beautiful people everywhere, the way they show they care makes me want to say, it's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world.
But I was just so depressed and anxious and fearful and so.
Think you're on the right there, Peter.
That's Molly. So anyway, I walked into the church and we went there for 3 months and I'd never heard about getting born again. No one even told me. No one wanted to come up and talk to me. There was only about 2 or 3 people that would even talk to me. And in 3 months, I just thought church was going to church. You show up, you do the church thing, dress up, go home. But I started feeling better. The first time I went in there, I couldn't stand it. This thing inside me, get out of here, get out of here. But I knew there was something else that wanted me there. Anyway, I couldn't finish sitting there, so I had to take off outside. But I went back after the next week, and then the next week, and the next week for 3 months. And anyway, the pastor asked me up. And this thing had quietened down. I don't know why, but it was quietened down. I was starting to feel good, just by being there. And anyway, 3 months later, the pastor got up the front and asked me, you want to become a Christian? And I thought I already was one. I'm coming to church, aren't I? I've been here for a while. What are you on about? And I said, oh, whatever, And he said, well, just repeat after me. Say the sinner's prayer. He just started leading me in the sinner's prayer, but then all of a sudden this thing in my head is yelling like someone standing right next to you, yelling full on in your ear, no, you can't do this, you can't do this, you've still got dope growing in the bush. And I'm thinking, what's that got to do with anything? And what am I doing anyway? And this thing's going off and he's trying to talk, I had to follow him, and this thing's yelling in my ear. And as soon as I said, right, you know, the sinner's prayer, I believe you're the Son of God, Jesus, I believe you come to die on the cross for our sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I was sorry. I was an absolute wreck. I'd have done anything to, you know. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I ask you into my life, take control of my life right now. And I start shaking again, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go again, you know, what's going on here? Anyway, it's like you're shaking on the inside, like really shivering, like full on. Anyway, we done that, and I'm thinking, oh, I feel a bit better now. And I went home, and I had to chuck me dope straight in the fire. I just burnt all my occult books. So I had a heap of them, chucked them all in the fire. I just had to do it. I don't even know why I was doing it the day before. There's no way I'd have chucked me dope all them books in the fire, but they went in, bang, everything just went in, and I didn't even know why. I just knew I had to do it. The next day I woke up, that night I had a dream that was just the words in big flame, 26:18, and I woke up the next day. I knew that was from God, because every night for the last 2 or 3 years, every time I was doing these exercises to make your dreams come real. And I'd done them that much that every little dream, didn't matter what it was just like World War III going on in my head, and there was tidal waves, earthquakes. It was just full on. My brains were that scrambled. I couldn't sleep. I'd go to bed and I'd wake up and I'd be just like, there was no peace, no rest. And anyway, that night I knew something had happened, because I woke up and didn't have any dreams. And it was 26:18, big letters, and I thought, 26:18, right, this has got to be another message from God. I got the Bible, looked it up. Exodus didn't make sense. Poss looked up 6:18, and 6:18 was Noah building his boat or something. And she goes, oh, he don't want you to build a boat, does he? And I'm going, no, I don't reckon. Not out here Woodstock. But we went, kept going, we went through Leviticus. It said, 26:18 says, if you continue to do any of these things, I'll punish you for your sins 7 times over. And I go, I get the message, God. I don't even want to be punished once, let alone 7 times. I'll be a good boy, you know. And I felt really good all the way between. I was telling God, I feel so good, I feel so light, I feel like I can float, I'm being set free. My brain stopped, there's peace, there's quiet. It was like standing in the middle of Bourke Street, the difference, and then standing out in the middle of the bush on a still night. It was that much. And I'm thinking, oh, God, fair dinkum. And I was telling him, I told him over every day, over and over again for about 3 months, and this exactly what I was saying. God, you could tie me to a stake in the middle of a desert, throw rocks at me for the rest of my life, and I'd still be better off. And I was serious. If that had happened, I'd have been laughing at whoever, because I was in such torment, you know. And that's, people are blowing their heads off and suiciding because their mind, they can't control their mind, and that they only need to invite Jesus in to give him a go, and he'll fix it for them, you know. Anyway, I thought, yeah, well, right, oh God, I won't do it anymore. And anyway, we kept going. A few months later, I started reading the book of Deuteronomy, and it said, 26:18 said, now you have made yourself a child of God. And, you know, it was a really good encouraging scripture about how if I obey the commandments, you know, you'll be a special people. And I felt like that. But anyway, I felt so good for a month or two, 3 months. But then the noises started coming back in my head. It wasn't like they were coming from the inside. It was like these things were on my shoulders, just starting with a bit of guilt and shame and trying to put fear in and doubt and unbelief, you know. You all would have heard it, you know. But these things were really annoying. These things had come back, but they're only on the outside. So compared to what I'd been like, it was just like a wireless getting left on in the next room. You knew they were there, they were non-stop yabba, 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 but it didn't. They were just annoying. They weren't really frustrating me. They just really forgive me, you know. But anyway, this evangelist come to church, and he said, right, everybody line up and I'll pray for you. So I went up and he said, what's wrong? I said, my mind keeps wandering. So he goes, you lying tall tormenting spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. And I just fell over and I got up and I'm going, they're gone, you know. And straight away I knew the power in Jesus' name, the name above all names, you know, at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess on the earth, under the earth, and in heaven, you know, that's the name that he's given us. And so from then, 5.5 years ago with the arse out of my pants, demon possessed, an alcoholic, a drug addict, just so full of anxiety, fear, you know, my brain was fried. Now I own my own house, I've got a wife who loves me, I still don't know what's going on there, and I know God's... God's filled me up with joy and peace and love. Hope where I was hopeless, joy where I was depressed, love where I never even knew love. You know, peace, I can, my mind's at rest now, and, you know, just things that the life, and life more abundantly. And I'll tell you, if you know what I'm talking about, don't wait, do it now, do it right now. Ask him in your heart, because this is real. He died on the cross for your sins, for mine. Do it right now. Don't wait, because this stuff's real. It's real. As real as I'm standing there. You know, there are two sides to everything, but God's in control. So you just want to say this prayer. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, and you came to earth to die for my sins, and you crucified on the cross. Just something like this. Just talk to him. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to your next door neighbor. Don't let these voices that are getting in your head put you off. Just do it. You came to earth, you're crucified, you're raised from the dead on the third day, now you seat at the right hand of the Father. I repent for my sins and I ask you to take control of my life and invite you into my heart. Whatever, just talk to God and he'll do it. If you're fair dinkum, he'll do it. It don't matter about the words, it's what's going on in here. So that's my testimony. God set me free. You know, the Son sets free, is free indeed. I've been set free. It's the best thing I've ever done, you know. And I'll never ever look back. No way, there's nothing compared to the life God's given me. There's nothing in the past that I'd ever want to ever go back to. Nothing, you know. The sex, the drugs, the rock and roll are all just dirt. Like dog's dirt compared to the life that the Holy Spirit gives you when he enters and comes into your life. It's just like pure gold compared to the other stuff, and, you know, it's just excellent. And all these other blokes you've seen on the video, that they feel exactly the same as I do. They've done the same thing. This stuff's real, and that's about all I've got to say.